Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in.
Hi, and welcome to the Grow Your Influence podcast. Today we're talking about, do you really have a team? Christy Lee and I will be talking about how you recognize the signs of whether you have a team that is functioning together or just a group of high-performing individuals who are doing their own thing. And we'll take you through three ways you can start to build those individuals into a team if you see that that's not happening for you at the moment. We'll talk about building trust, about creating shared goals and what that would mean, and about creating that connection that lets your team really start to function together to create shared outcomes. Christy Lee, hi, how are you going?
Juliette, hi, I'm going great. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And I'm really excited to talk about this because lately I've been working with a couple of teams where this has become so obvious, so early in the piece. I've worked with teams where we've had some conversations, we've started to work together, and we break for a cup of tea mid-morning and I say to the manager, how do you think it's going? And each time they've said, well, it's become really obvious to me, I don't have a team. I have a group of people who are really competent and who are doing their jobs, but they're not working as a team. So I thought we should talk about this. I think it's a really, if we don't get this right, it's very hard to be productive and it's very hard to achieve our goals.
Absolutely. And almost impossible to have any form of innovation and, you know, growth forward in a business. So I think it is a great topic. And I can just imagine the realization on these leaders' faces and in their expressions when they've had that realization working with you in those first couple of hours, and they realize it must be like a smack in the face. Oh, I actually don't have a team.
Yes. Absolutely. Each time when we get to morning tea, there's this sort of sense of, oh God, you know, I thought we were coming in here to work on the team, you know, to build this team. And, you know, we talk about high performing teams. They saw themselves taking their team from kind of performing to high performing. And the reality was they've got to start at the beginning and actually create this team.
Because a group of high performing or even low performing individuals for that matter doesn't automatically create a team. Just because you call it a team doesn't mean it's a team.
And I think there's some really clear indicators. I don't know, have you seen this with teams when
absolutely.
You're working with them?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think I've seen this a lot with businesses where there's a high level of technical competence that is required in the roles and needed in the people. And often as well with people that have come through a very maybe autonomous and solo kind of career path and are also very technically competent and they're then thrust into a team environment but haven't had the lived experience to know how to be a great teammate, how to participate in a team, how to create expectations from your teammates. So they're sort of at a loss and are just really working in a silo within a bigger department. So yeah, I've certainly seen this with teams that I've worked with, and I see it a lot in very technically competent people and technically competent professions, and also in people that have had a career path or trajectory that's been quite autonomous, a very solo, very siloed. They're suddenly thrust into a team environment and they're not really sure how to function within that team and just don't have the lived or learnt experience to know how to be a great teammate, what to expect from other team members, how to participate as part of a team. So I definitely see this show up.
I think it's interesting when you talk about that autonomous sort of manager, leader. Certainly in one of these teams I was working with, the members of the team had very small teams that they managed. So I think they hadn't had to build a big team themselves.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely part of it. And I agree about the technical specialization. Often I see it in those sorts of professions where people are technically really strong,
Mm.
but they don't necessarily even value the team stuff. They don't always want it.
That's true. They don't always want it because often their value in terms of how they experience success in the workplace is about their personal success, their ability to solve really complex problems or to achieve heights in their profession. It's not necessarily about being part of a team for them that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's very true. And look, I think one of the, well, some of the things I see, you know, in these teams that for me are very early indicators, that they're not behaving as a team. You can spot that the lack of trust, just the fact that they don't challenge one another, that everybody's quite nice in inverted commas, that the atmosphere in the room can be very gentle. And I know I've had clients who they want that gentle atmosphere, but what that means is that no one's really challenging one another. No one's suggesting, you know, trying different things. There's really not a lot of new ideas coming to the table. And nobody's sort of challenging one another around doing their job either.
That's
So I
true. And I
see.
think that is reflective sometimes of the leadership style in the group too. There are certain styles of leaders that do want to create that really stable and supportive and harmonious team environment. But in doing that, the people in the team are often not feeling comfortable to speak up or to, as you said, challenge things. And things get stale and stagnant very quickly in those teams.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think they do. And I think also what I see is that there's no sharing of anything beyond the job. There's really, it's all very surface level, very superficial. There's no connection between people. So that there's not a lot of conversation beyond the getting the job done.
So what do you think are some of the symptoms or signs that what you've got is actually just a group of people working together as opposed to a team? I mean, we certainly see more autonomy and less collaboration, I guess, is one of the signs. What are the other signs that you see?
Well, I see a focus on their own team's results. So not looking at the bigger picture, not saying what are we, for instance, as a leadership team trying to achieve, but what does my team need to do? What are my results and what's my goals and how do I reach for them? And really no interest in anybody else's. I see that a lot. And I think just that sort of not sharing information, using information as power is often a thing, or even just refusing to collaborate and not even explicitly refusing, but just not collaborating.
Yeah, just opting out is what you see, isn't it? They just avoid and just don't lean into that opportunity to collaborate.
Absolutely. And in fact, see that as a bit of a time waster because the other people at the table aren't bringing the value I'm bringing or my team is bringing.
It creates competition too, doesn't it, then?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Which isn't
So they're,
great. It's not very conducive to results generally.
no, not at all. And I think also, you know, I worked a number of years ago now with a big insurance organization, and we were brought in to help. They were under instructions to downsize. And the executive team, when they met, talked about what was going to happen, and everybody had a freezing hold and all this sort of a hiring freeze and all these sorts of things. But two members of that team continued to build their teams, and everybody could see what was going on, and that these two people had a bit more power than the others in the executive team. But nobody in that room when the executive met challenged one another. Nobody talked about the bigger goal. They just talked about their own things and what was happening in their teams. And the CEO wasn't bringing them together. And that was probably the first time I saw it sort of writ large, but I see it so often in teams. And just this, there's no or very little vulnerability. Nobody's talking about, oh gosh, you know, I'm not really sure what I'm doing, or can you help me here, or
No.
what do you think? Because I'm not, this is not my area of expertise. That's just not conversation that you hear.
No, that's definitely true. People are holding their cards very close to their chest and really protecting the information that they have. And that therefore, forces them also to put up a facade of false confidence, which can be very dangerous depending on what role they're in the business.
Totally. And I think, look, if you're leading a team and it becomes clear that this is the issue, it's not the end of the world. I think this is definitely a situation you can turn around.
I think
There are
so too. Yeah.
opportunities. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I do think this is not a sort of, and this is what I talked about with these managers in the workshops recently, was okay, let's change the way we're doing things for the rest of this workshop, because let's go back and start that process.
I think as a leader of any team, whether you're the CEO leading a leadership team or whether you're a leader leading a technical team, it's your responsibility to create, build, and foster that team. It's not going to happen
Totally.
on its own. Well, you might get lucky and it might happen on its own, but largely you have a responsibility to drive that and to create that. And it is absolutely possible if you're listening and think, oh my God, I've got a group of people and not a team, you can turn it around. And it's actually, we require some intention, some time, and some thought and some action, but it's not that difficult, really, is it?
No, it's not. No, but I agree with you. The intention needs to be there. And I think it can really help to be really explicit about it and say, look, what this is what I'm seeing. So let's talk about how we want to be together, So I think there's definitely things that we can do as leaders. If this is the sense that we get and we want to start building a team, I think there's real value in talking with our team about it. But we need to model the way. We can't just talk about it. I think we need to be putting out the approach we want to take and discussing with the team some of those challenges.
Yeah, I agree. And when, as a leader, when we're embarking on this, let's put this team together challenge or project, do we very honestly tell the team that we're not working together effectively as a team and I want to do some work to help us fix that? Or do we do things that are more subtle? What's your approach to that?
I think it really, A, depends on the team, and B, depends on the style of the leader. I'm a big fan of talking about it, of saying, I don't think we're functioning well as a team, because for me, a team works in these ways. I think Lencioni has a great tool, which is a team assessment report that you can do. I think it's not a good one to do if you, in the initial stages of recognizing your team is not a team. I think it's something, though, that you can work towards, and it's got some great guidelines. And when he talks about the five dysfunctions of a team in his book, I think there's some really great guidelines in there. But I think if we say to the team, I'm concerned that we're not all heading in the same direction, so let's talk about the direction. Let's talk about our understanding of our common goal. And what does that mean for each of us as leaders? And let's talk about how we want to be with one another. How do we want this team to function? What do we want to be doing here? I think if we can have some of those conversations, but fundamentally, we need to start building trust with our team, which means as the leader, we need to start demonstrating some of those trust-building behaviors.
Yeah, I think it starts with trust. I absolutely
Is
agree.
that
And
the approach you see happening?
yeah, I'm a big fan of also being honest, and saying this is where we're at. But I think starting with trust is, and building that trust is fundamental.
Yes, it is. I totally agree. And I think if we can do that, and we do that both in, with individuals and with the team, because if we can say, if we can connect with individuals, and that is literally those baseline, asking questions, listening, connecting to what their motivators are, sharing our experiences, getting a little bit vulnerable around our experiences. And, where we see our expertise, but where we're looking for them to add their expertise. I think all of that helps.
Yeah. And I think also do what we say we're going to do. There's no quicker way to build trust than just delivering on what we promise, which is really simple, and putting trust in our team because it's a reciprocal arrangement trust, and we can't wait until we feel trusted to trust our team, we've got to take the lead in that, don't you think?
I totally agree. Yes. And we've got to keep challenging the team to do that. So, and I think this is where, if we agree that we have some shared goals, if we agree that we're going to start, communicating more effectively with one another and start to hold one another accountable, then I think we start to challenge one another differently if we can build trust. So when we throw something out at the leader, I think being able to say, what's wrong with this idea? Tell me how we're going to do this. Where are the gaps? What don't we like about it? Starting to get the team challenging things rather than just sitting around going, yep, that's fine. Yep, can I go now? Because I've got things to do.
Yeah, I
We want
agree.
them to buy in. And the only way we get them to do that is by kind of throwing this around and understanding, and each of them understanding how they contribute.
Absolutely. So building trust, number one, and it is essential. I love the Simon Sinek quote, a team is not a group of people who work together. A team is a group of people who trust each other. So fundamental
Absolutely.
to the team.
Yeah.
The second thing that we can do as a leader to help build the team is to create shared goals. Have everyone working in one direction. It sounds really simple, but also just creating buy-in around that, right? It's not just about saying, here's the goal. You've got to really align it to what's important to the individual and to the team collectively.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think when we agree on shared goals, then we're no longer thinking just about the goals for our silo. We're thinking about the bigger goal. And what does that mean for what we as a team need to produce?
How do our team's goals contribute to the bigger organizational goals or the long-term vision of the
Yes.
business? Really stacking those things
Absolutely.
in.
Yep. And I think if we're doing that, if we have shared goals, then we start talking about collaboration across the different teams. So we're getting leaders to say, okay, well, if this is the big goal, if this is what we're trying to achieve, what do I need from other teams? How am I going to contribute to other teams? How does my team help other teams? Yeah.
Yeah, very powerful when you can get cross
So
collaboration
we
between
move
teams.
absolutely. And I think it does move leaders away from that silo of, gosh, I need to be the best team, to that idea of how can we all contribute to this bigger picture.
Yeah, I agree. And then the third
I think when
element.
we do that, we need to think about what we reward. Sorry, I was just going to say, I think when we're looking for that sort of collaboration as the leader, we need to think about what the behaviors we recognize too. So we want to be having conversations with the leaders in our team around how well their collaboration is going, and how much we appreciate what they're doing in the collaboration. Because I think that feedback's really important as well to help
Absolutely.
build their confidence in this. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
And so
And the third element here.
is connection. People want to feel a part of, a group that they can in some way connected to. And that doesn't mean they have to be best buddies outside of work, but people want to feel connected, don't they?
Totally agree. And I think if we can build that connection, so much good comes from that. It creates ripple effects in terms of confidence, in terms of building trust. It helps communication, but it is part, that sort of people's desire, and it's very much human nature, this desire to be part of something bigger than ourselves, which is not just about those shared goals. I think it is about being part of, a community, wanting to actually talk to the people we work with. We spend so much time at work. If we don't build that community, I think work becomes a very solitary sort of thing, doesn't it?
Definitely.
We
And I think that
stay in our
connection
silo.
piece, like you said, it's fundamental to our human nature that we want to be connected with other people. And when we create that with teams, it actually creates a very, very strong, robust team that can withstand more challenges. They have more resilience, and individuals support each other within the team. And things start to develop out of that, like traditions and common language and dialogue that is unique
Yes.
to that team. And that really does strengthen the team that we're building.
Well, this is where culture comes from, isn't it? You know, when we talk
course.
about culture, that's all those shared stories and those in jokes and the language and things. And as you say, those traditions that become part of the culture, that's what people buy into when they're choosing whether to work with this team or not. And I think that's fundamental to A, keeping the great people we have, but also bringing new people into a team. If we have a strong culture, that there's something they can see that they can choose to buy into.
Exactly. And it helps people make that decision when they're looking at a position. Do I belong here? Is this place for me? And if it's not, that is totally fine. And you're better off knowing that right at the beginning. But if it is for them, they're excited to be there, which means they're more engaged more quickly, expedites the onboarding process. It has lots of great benefits.
I totally agree. Yes. And I think it does, it helps a team know whether someone fits and be really clear with them around, you know, this is the culture. Come on in.
Yeah, exactly. Being really transparent about that culture, and if this is for you, come on in. We're here to welcome you, kind of thing. So very powerful when we get
Absolutely.
to that layer, I think. So just to recap, today we've been looking at, do you really have a team, or do you have a group of individual, hopefully high performers? And I think if you're realizing that actually what you've got is a group of people, the three strategies we've shared today will absolutely help you transform those people into a team. And they were building trust, having shared goals, and creating connection. And I think actually they need to happen in that order too, just by chance. But those three things will take a group of people and turn them into a really, really great team, won't they?
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I think they have to happen in that order because without trust, nothing else is going to happen.
True.
And without shared goals, there's nothing to focus on. So definitely. And I think if you can do those, then it doesn't take too long, but you as the leader are going to have to lead that.
Correct. Yeah, that's your responsibility. Juliet, thank you for chatting today. It's been a great conversation and I think a really, really valuable topic to unpack. So it's been great to chat with you.
Lovely to talk and thank you. Yes, I was so pleased to be able to dig into this with you because I've been fascinated that it's come up a few times recently.
Yes.
Great to talk, Christy Lee. See you soon.
Thanks, Juliet. Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.